Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Well, how about this? You know what's going on right now that's very unusual? Well, it's not all that unusual. It's a little unusual. There's politics going on. No, there's always politics going on. That's true. If you take it in its most generic light, we all do politics and we're all politicians, but I don't mean it that way. I just mean, like, we're getting into a really active season. It's very exciting. You have to kind of pinch yourself as somebody who's into politics on some level and say, wow, this stuff is happening. And it's coming our way and it's coming fast. And how exciting is that? Presidential politics, national politics, local politics, state. It's all going wild. Todd Feinberg here. I haven't been front and center so much because, you know, covering other stuff. But here I am. And we've got a lot to talk about because the world is scrounging for power. That's what people do. It's really the interesting part for me of what we do every day here on WTIC. That is, we're putting the telescope and the microscope on power structures and systems of power and how they operate and how power gets processed in a way that maybe we're told is works out for us in some way that's positive. And that's the idea of having a democratic system. The idea of having a democratic system is that it's wired to be forced to be responsive to us and our needs. And with every system, there is an aspect of reality to the perception that the system is responsive and an aspect of silliness, wishful thinking. And it's up to us to figure out day in and day out to what extent it bends one way or the other. And at the root of what we're doing is first trying to get a handle on it so we can share each other's perspectives and maybe come closer to a mutually agreed upon measure of how those dynamics work, but also so that we can push it in the direction we want it to go. And we can reach agreement by understanding each other and our perspectives. 860-522-9842. So we've been doing different kind of programming here, as you know. And it continues to be different because there is politics going on. That whole convention mentality coming along, that changes dynamics. And you are invited to talk about it and share ideas about it. I've never actually talked about this on the air, but I fell in love with politics as a kid, not knowing what it was really, but you know, I started working on campaigns growing up in Massachusetts. I worked, as a young teen, I volunteered for a Ted Kennedy re-election to the U.S. Senate campaign. What a crazy thing for a kid to do. But something about the glamour of having Kennedys and the thing the Kennedys were, how big that family name was going back 50 years ago. I mean, that was a pretty amazing thing to be growing up in an area where you had Kennedys doing politics. But it also provided a national kind of excitement to the idea of local politics, and that made the whole thing sexy for me. So I started following politics. I started working on campaigns, and it became a thing for me. Sort of, I'm not going to say I didn't do sports, but it competed for time with sports because it is a sport. It is a game. And the more they can gamify it, the more they can take us away from the fact that they're gaming us. And to me, that's the fun part of what we do here on WTIC. We talk about what's going on in politics so we can evaluate to what degree the people who say they're running for office because they care about us so deeply and have the most noble of goals in terms of transforming some aspect of government or some aspect of its practices to be more favorable to what we the people. But for the most part, it's a tension between those who, if we put it into the most ancient sort of construct, you know, kings sitting there with bars of gold, princes, whatever they were, you know, those guys sitting around with the bars of gold, those were our bars of gold, but they had us convinced, I think, in those days, that they were the royals. Remember when the royals, I mean, we weren't alive, but we can remember from our studies, they weren't considered to be politicians. They portrayed themselves as some kind of offspring of divinity. And it was up to us to just go along with what they said, because they were divine. Well, you know, we still have politicians looking to do that. And that's for me, the cool part of what we do here on WTIC is we take all that apart for you. Because we don't have to fall for guff like that anymore. We don't. We like to. And we enjoy getting sucked back into it again. For example, Kennedys. What is the mythology of the Kennedys? But think back to Jack Kennedy running for president. When was that the first time? 1960, right? 1960. Anybody good at math can figure out how many years ago that is? That's a lot of years. That's going back half a century. Plus. But what were they trying to sell us that's different from what we're being sold now? That they were kind of a royalty. But they were a royalty that came from the people and represented the interests of the people. And we hear that constantly. We've got to pinch ourselves and remind ourselves that that's not really how the game works, is it? You know, there might be one or two who come along who come from us and are of us and maintain their connection to us and maybe even serve us with what they do behind those. What are those curtains made of? I want to say felt, but is there a part of it that's felt? They're just so velvet, yes. Like movie theater curtains. They make them fancy using our money. There's a tip-off right there that there's trouble. Ooh, they make those beautiful curtains out of the felt that cost so much money. Our money. Because they want us to feel that we are being indulged. But they don't want us to remember that we're being indulged with our money. So we're going to talk about that. Well, that's the subtext of everything we're talking about, because we're talking about politics. It's political season. There's even national conventions coming our way. Wow. All right, let's take a quick break. Todd Feinberg here, 860-522-9842. Stay with us on WTIC.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, yeah. We're here doing radio because that's what we do. What an awesome thing it is, too. Easy to take granted the fact that we have this wonderful device. Not just the radio itself, but the whole infrastructure to deliver a signal and all. And we've got the best one here at WTIC. And we jam that sucker out there so you know what's going on in the world. And then we get to talk about it together. I mean, how cool is that? 860-522-9842. What more do you need from life than that? Well, maybe I'm oversimplifying things a bit. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, there's a lot going on in the world, as you know, and it's getting crazy. And, you know, we're keeping track of it. And we're talking to you about it. I'm having a communication breakdown, though, so I'm not sure who to put on the air first. Can somebody give Juan? Juan from East Hartford, that guy? We're letting him. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, Juan.
I did get sucked in, but we were talking about looks with no substance. Mm-hmm. That's what we have to work, creating more substance and not worrying
more
about
more substance. About is that the word you're saying?
Yeah.
In our politics, substance, you want it to be more substantive. What is it missing substance in?
People do not have character anymore. And I think that they worry about how they look and how they look around everybody else. And not they don't look within themselves.
You're talking about the people who hold elective office, Juan?
Exactly. You were talking about looks. So that the curtains are made out of velvet, by the way.
What did I say? Felt?
No, you couldn't figure it out, but those are velvet.
Thank
curtains.
You. That's why they invented telephones.
Yes. And I have a theory about this Kennedy-Trump thing.
Uh-huh.
Kennedy's ruled the nest for a long time. And I think Democrats learn about that and they despise that. When they saw Trump and his family, they just said, we got to eliminate this right off the get-go. So that's my theory about that. And
that's interesting.
When it comes to divinity, God, we're giving God a lot of credit for saving the president's life, but also God intervened with the people for a minute and 24 seconds, noticed that shooter up on that roof, and maybe that raised his heartbeat up to allow that shot not to be so perfect. His own anxiety, knowing that people were finding him out, added to the mess, besides the fact that the president turned his head over. So, you know, it was a divinity or coincidence. And that's because...
Well, how can we know the answer?
We don't.
How could we? It's beyond us.
It's beyond us, exactly.
So, why don't we move on to the next thing to speculate about?
It's being handled by a power greater than ourselves.
Which is most power.
Which is much power. And you know, I mean, all of this is just, we can talk about Menendez. We just talked about Menendez and all the different subjects that we just talked about. Velvet, he's a slick velvet cell. You know, like, I can picture him with a velvet coat, you know, going out to dinner with his wife and putting those, you know, stash cash underneath that velvet coat. And then, you know, looks, I mean, he definitely lacks a lot of substance.
Bob Menendez, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, everybody lacks. You know, we all have to strive for more substance, I think, and that's maybe the lesson that we see around us more than any other.
Absolutely, and you know that's why I, you know, this voyage I took, this trip I took, gave me a different perspective on a completely different society than ours that has a lot of substance.
Your trip was where?
Japan.
You went to Japan?
My Japan trip.
Just so you could eat sushi?
And experience the culture. Experience the sights, the history. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the food was phenomenal. Oh, my God.
Right.
I've been diagnosed with diabetes, so I like right now my whole life is upside down.
Well, just take it in stride, Juan. Do what they tell you to do. Do they want you eating raw fish?
I can eat anything as long as it's not, you know, anything that Paolo makes. Like, the one thing I'm going to miss is pesto.
Oh, so you've got to stay away from the... No oils.
No carbs.
No carbs. No. Well, good luck with... Yeah, go ahead. Finish up. Go ahead.
I'll be in Maine the first week of August, and that's going to pain me the most to know that I'm there and I can't go enjoy a nice plate of pesto. Things like that bother me a lot.
Well, let me straighten you out on that.
I'd rather be alive than dead. You know, it's better alive than dead.
So. Juan, thank you for the call. It's good to talk to you always. But I want to leave you with some words of wisdom. I think they're words of wisdom. They are coming from me, so I'm being a little presumptuous, but I think that it doesn't matter, really, whether you're having that food you're fantasizing about or not. That fantasy is just a trick. The fact that you are here, that we get to talk, that we get to share ideas, that you get to feel the sun in your face, that you get to smell the food cooking, or not even cooking, just the raw, natural, oils. That's it right there. That's what you need. What you need is right in front of you. You don't have to torture yourself with fantasies. Just count the blessings and realize how lucky you are. And I feel that way about our get-togethers and the fact that we get to share ideas and such, and we're going to continue doing that in just a couple minutes. 860-522-9842. We're going to get a news update, though the news is outrageous. We are blessed with great news to listen to, so let's do it. Stay with us on WTIC.
Why wait? Come on. Oh, come on, why wait? You can rant right now at 860-751-4698 on the Todd Feinberg Show.
Yeah, thanks for being here. 860-522-9842. Yeah, so I'm in the studio, and sometimes, you know, sometimes things work, sometimes they don't. And I'm struggling with it, but that's fine. Did you say Dave next? Tom in Thomaston is first. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
How do you feel about that alliteration, Tom in Thomaston? Do you like that being your handle?
Yeah, it's okay. I actually live in a town near Thomaston, but I was too afraid to say it. So
well, there's nothing wrong with maintaining a little separation.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, I kind of like the alliteration. Yeah, it's good. Hey, I was born in the summer of 59, so I wasn't in the heart of the Camelot Kennedy and all that stuff.
Yep.
I don't get it. Joe Kennedy made millions during Prohibition, so he had ties to the mob. How is that family different than a drug dealing family in the 70s and the 80s that made millions? I don't get it.
Well, I don't know. We probably have plenty of them running the country, too.
Yeah, that's true. And don't a lot of people say Joe Kennedy, the dad, his connections to the mob in the Democratic controlled cities got his son the election in 60?
Could be.
Yeah, so, Kennedy was just a guy that wanted power like all these other guys. I don't get the Kennedy
the glamour
allure
of Jack Kennedy. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
you don't know why?
I never got it.
But, you know, we've got this mythology about democracy, which is beautiful and a great aspiration, and that is that the will of the people can somehow outfox the raw lust for power that drives most people into government and into the lies that they, you know, the facades they have to create in order to trick people into giving them power. And so what you're describing, I think, and what you're feeling is that tension between those two things. We have a fantasy of power being for the people, and we have a reality of people being drawn to power because they want it for themselves. And we will always be facing that struggle. That will always be the struggle, won't it?
Yeah, well, and I think that's what a lot of people that usually aren't political, that's why they like Trump, because they see him as not in there. And I'm not saying he is or he isn't. He likes power just like everybody else. But
so what do you think they mean then? What's the good part from in that construct that you're thinking about?
Because in an ideal world, we would want someone that just was 100% just for the working man.
Well, sure, but that's impossible. There's no ideal world.
Yeah.
So what's the appeal of Trump then? What is the little gulf that they're stepping over that some other people can't?
Okay, I own a small business, and none of my employees vote. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They don't care about it. Most of them now are going to vote because they see that, not because he was Trump, but the guy that was in there before Biden was better for them. And a lot of them say they're going to vote now. So they truly think Trump is for the common man. Now, he says he is all the time. And from my opinion, he was better. So I think that's the allure. They think he's for him.
Yes, but we're in a system that really allows a binary choice. So what they've created is a system that sells us the fact that we're in charge as long as we pick from the two who are made available to us. And we tend to overlook the fact that we've only had two made available to us, and we pick from one of those two, and we think we're in charge. And so there is that illusion in there that the original scenario, you know, when you think about power and how it gets doled out, there's always a mechanism that somehow the powerful have their hands on, isn't there?
Yeah, but Todd, I always thought, oh, maybe a third party would be better. But every country that has two, three, four, five parties, to me, that they're just always trying to get a coalition. So as bad as a two-party system is, I still think it's the best system we got.
Well, I'm not arguing for one or the other. I'm just saying it gets exposed. And I'm inclined to agree with you that the more you splinter it, the more you make it possible for somebody who's got very little support but maybe a lot of organizational skill behind him can grab an election that most people are appalled to see him win.
Yeah, that's why I think a lot of good men and women don't go into politics, because it's kind of, I think it's a dirty business.
Well, most business is dirty business once you get down to the nitty-gritty of grabbing power. And that's the thing we have to come to terms with, I think.
Well, I'm in the janitorial business, so I really am in the dirty business.
So you start off dirty. It gets cleaner the longer you're around. I think maybe there's a lesson there for us. What do you think?
Yeah, there you go.
What do you put in that spray bottle?
Oh, all different stuff.
Yeah, whatever you have around. Whatever you get cheap. Thank you, sir. 860-522-9842. There's a little lesson in power, isn't it? Like, what more do you need from life in terms of understanding power than that? Well, of course, you need to sort through some issues, for sure. So I said earlier, you know, I like our system in that it gives people control. That's the intent of our system, is to decentralize power and to create transparency. That is, they come to us and ask for the power on a temporary basis, and we sort through the people who are aspiring towards it, and they put on their best game faces and tell us the best stories that their writers can write for them, and we decide. But still, it's flawed, right? Why is it flawed? Why is it so hard to get us humans to organize ourselves in such a way that we take what belongs to us and manage it in our best interest? And of course, temptation and greed step in. Isn't it funny how you come back to these old words? These old concepts? The old, same old, same old. Power. People want power so they can improve their lives. And if we don't figure out how to manage on our own behalf, which we don't really do, even though we've got a political system that's supposed to allow us to do that. But what happens when you start getting close to where the power sits? How does that flesh out in a way that's better? And we supposedly have the best system ever. And maybe we do. But it's not just the system. It's the system has to live inside of a system that supports it. Systems that support it. And everywhere along the way, there's temptation. And there's flaws in the structures and flaws in the mythology. Power is a fascinating thing. And the idea of having government, you know, like if you ever go back and read some of the stories you read when you were a kid, because I've done this in school, about the creation of our country and how noble the experiment was. And that's all good stuff. It's true. But it's also written from inside the system. Look at us, see how good we are, how noble we are, because we want people to be able to run their own lives. And that is the idea of having a democratic system, but it doesn't mean it works. It doesn't mean there isn't skimming going on and decisions being made all the time. that aren't the best ones for everyone, but are the best for the particular person making the decision at the particular time. By the way, I got like 5 emails in the last, since a couple minutes ago when I was talking about sushi. And they all, in one form or another, say, I just have a private laugh to myself because people always say, oh, Todd, I love your conversation about sushi. You're on a roll. And I say, they don't realize that they're talking about a sushi roll when they said that. Yeah, it's just one of the little private jokes that I get to enjoy. 860-522-9842. And by the way, the food thing. I'm sorry, what's that, Roland, about Bristol? Oh, Dave in Bristol. Is he still there? Hey, Dave. Sorry about that.
Still here, Todd. Going back to the Bible, thou shalt not covet, work for what you want, and leave other people alone.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's sushi roll.
Exactly. Work for your own sushi roll and let other people eat what they want.
Yeah, but that commandment is known by all. And if it's known by all, it's for a reason, right? Because it's temptation is out there everywhere, haunting us all the time.
And don't be jealous of what your neighbor, your family, sure, your friends have, or even people you don't like.
Yeah, but who listens to directives like that?
Well, that's the American way, you know? You go make your own way, you know?
Well, in terms of stealing and stuff, yes. But but the American way is also to compete for scarce goods. What's that?
I wanted to call you about this. I know.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I sort of have this pet peeve with you, and I don't take this in the wrong way.
Oh, I'm a very reasonable person. I'm organizing the people with the weapons right now to...
Yeah.
See what happens next. Go ahead.
Don't worry. I'm hard to find. It's going to take a lot of them. You talk about democratic norms and, you know, the system of government, and I appreciate all that. I mean, I think you're brilliant as far as the way you interpret our founding and everything. My thing is a lot of people do not understand that when you say those things.
You mean I'm using a language that loses the meaning for them?
Well, to most people now, democratic means
the Democratic Party.
The leftist Democratic mm-hmm. Party. So, okay. When, like, liberalism used to be the party of freedom and, you know, self-reliance and all that, and then that got twisted backwards. You know, in Europe, the liberals are the conservative party. You know, vice versa. The actual meaning of liberalism, if you read Thomas Jefferson, is for the freedom of the individual and mm-hmm. the state stay out of the way.
Yes.
So our democratic norms, you know, I know that goes back even further to like Greece and whatnot. But if maybe you could consider a way to throw in that we are a representative republic.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
With a democratic principle behind it. Just to let people know that there's a difference between democracy, democratic systems, and the way our actual government is operated or supposed to operate.
Well, so that's my point about power. I thank you for making that point, by the way. That's a good point. But and the reason I'm saying what I'm saying is because I think all we can ever do is aspire to be fair with one another about power and whatever kind of system we have and whatever kind of words we make up for it. The reality of it is if you're wrestling over power, people are going to be aggressive, and they'll also be aggressive in couching in the most favorable kind of light something they're working on that might not be actually so favorable. And that's
exactly
why... And that's why you need systems that are set up with that understanding that humans are inclined to cheat and be aggressive and try to win rather than viewing victory as having the fairest system. I'm sorry, go ahead, sir.
No, I agree totally. It's the nature of life, you know, down to the littlest bug. It's out there looking just to kill the next bug so it can survive another day.
Yeah.
It doesn't care about what the other bugs are doing around it. It's there for itself, and you know, people unfortunately are like that, except for the system of government that was in place or put in place by our founders.
Well, you know what?
I would just like to hear you expose a little more of the republicanism side of it all.
As opposed to
just saying our democratic systems.
Yeah. Well, but I'm not talking, when I'm saying that, I'm using the word Democrat with a small d. I'm not saying as created by Democrats.
I understand that. I'm talking about you talking it about to everybody else.
So they understand. You want them to know.
Hey, come on. You're great. But I'm just thinking, you know, maybe switch the language around a little bit. Not really switch it around, but
freshen it up. I hear you.
You know, back to truer meaning. So, you know, people understand there's a difference between a democratic system of government and, you know, they just hear Democrat, democracy, whatever. Everybody votes and the most people win. And that's not what it is. And like you were saying, it was set up so that there would be stops and balances so that, you know, everybody would be kind of equally representative.
Yeah, and that's a challenge. And so I appreciate you making that point because it's a good point and it's one we need to be reminded of on both sides of it. People are always lusting for more power.
On both sides.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. 860-522-9842. We are going to take a little break here and then continue on WTIC.
It's Todd Feinberg. It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC. News Talk 1080.
All right, James has been waiting. Sorry to keep you waiting, James. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, can you hear me?
No, I can't hear you. What'd you say?
Oh, let me talk louder. Or let me do sign language.
Sign language is great.
You can't do that over the radio. Sign language, apparently. How's the baby?
Thrown out with the bathwater. Isn't that what happens?
Oh, no, don't do that. Because you got it down, you got to search for the baby.
Well, then you have to get the water back, too. It's a double whammy. So what's on your mind? We were short on time. Say something profound and enlightening, please.
Okay. The attempted assassination on Trump. Okay?
Yes.
Was
not okay.
Was a last attempt to kick him out of the ticket.
So you think the attempts are done now? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not. Because they didn't kill him. Okay?
So it's going to keep going on, you're saying?
Well, no. They actually guaranteed him the presidency because they missed the mark.
Oh, so he's elevated now to a higher status.
No. They're never going to be able to assassinate him that way again. Ever. They missed the mark, bro.
Yeah, they missed the Maki.
Right. I just want to just give a shout-out to my buddy Dave, who lives in Enfield, because he listened to your program.
And?
So that was...
Is he a super smart guy because he listens to my program? Is that the point you're trying to make?
Exactly. The super smart mark is about your baby, because you just had a baby, so... That was the second mark on my buddy Dave.
Wow, he's a double marked man.
There you go. So look. The whole idea is that Trump is not dead today is because people have been praying for him, including myself. I've been praying for this Donald Trump since he went to be
There is nothing so awesome, sir, as the power of prayer. Thank you so much for, and the power of talk radio, of course, which we will continue to do.